So we're looking at verse 5 today in Psalm 23. It says, "You spread a table before me in the presence of my enemies." But we'll focus on the spread a table before me part. The Spanish word for table is mesa. But as you probably know, mesa also refers to a small mountain with a flat top. I think if I just keep my head here, it'll be okay. Sometimes called a table mountain or tableland. Remember the dark valley of verse 4? Now the sheep are on top of the mountain. Because it's summertime, and there's plenty of grass and cool mountain air. But for sheep, Philip Keller says there are still plenty of dangers, even on the mountaintop. The shepherd has to methodically pull each and every poisonous weed from the summer pasture before the sheep can get near it. And once they survive the journey up the mountain, the shepherd must be alert for predators, especially while the flock is exposed out in the open. The good shepherd goes ahead of the flock, prepares the table, anticipates dangers, protects the flock. In the Gospels, especially in Luke, Jesus loves to sit down and eat with people. This is how he does ministry, how he does relationships, over a meal. And so I picked a gospel reading from Luke for this morning. And Jesus said, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Eagerly desired to eat with you. Back in chapter 12 of Luke, he had said, "I have come to set the world on fire, and I wish it were already burning. I have a terrible baptism of suffering ahead of me, and I am under a heavy burden until it is accomplished." The table is spread, and the mood is not the let's go for ice cream mood. It's a somber mood as Jesus anticipates his death. His eagerness to eat with them is not just about being with them. It's about the fire within him that compels him to step forward into God's will, however difficult. During the meal, Jesus did something that he did often, which I think confused his disciples and confuses us. At the same time, he revealed his power and glory of his kingdom, and he predicted his death and his suffering. Before we get more into 22, I want to back up to Luke 9, the feeding of the 5,000. Again, Jesus and the food. Twice in that chapter, we get a taste of the power and the success of Jesus. Wherever he and the disciples went, good news of the kingdom was proclaimed, and the sick were healed. Crowds followed him. He was very popular. People longed to see him and be with him. After the miraculous multiplication of the bread and fish, after the crowd had eaten their fill, a very successful day of ministry, Jesus was once again alone with his disciples. And he told them in chapter 9, verse 22, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life." Kind of a downer, but here we have this miraculous meal on the green grass. He gave the people bread for the day. But the whole story, the whole gospel is anticipating when Jesus will feed the multitude with his body and his blood. At the table in Luke 22, much closer to the time of suffering, he's sitting with his disciples. He's preparing to give more than a meal. He's preparing to give his own life. And indeed, he is in the presence of his enemies. The Gospels of Matthew and Mark share that Judas was at this meal, that Jesus offered him the bread and the wine just as he did for everyone else. Even though Judas had already betrayed Jesus to those who sought to destroy him, or already intended to anyway. Trouble was brewing all around them, with many dangers waiting for Jesus at the end of the meal. And we all know what happened next. Jesus was killed, though he was innocent, and it looked like all was lost. His followers grieved, but Sunday morning, to their surprise and amazement, they found that he who had been dead was very much alive. And they began to spread the very good news. The truth is that today in 2020, already the news is good. The kingdom of God is here. Jesus still heals the sick. And equally true today is that we are still waiting for the good news to make everything good. We are waiting for the healing of all creation. We are waiting for the kingdom of this world to be in submission to the kingdom of our God. The victory is won, but we are not yet experiencing all of it. Meanwhile, God provides for us and cares for us, protects us. We navigate every danger, every heartache, and every unmet need with his help. This meal that we share today is not the fullness that we would like. Many of you are at home, and we wish we could be in the same space with you today. Those of us here will have a sanitary, pre-packaged tidbit that doesn't do justice to the abundant feast that we look forward to in the kingdom of God. Like that call to worship from Revelation, we are looking forward to the wedding feast of the Lamb of God. What a feast that will be. We can't even imagine how wonderful. But we eat this meal today, this imperfect meal, in hope, in anticipation of the return of Jesus to rule and reign, looking forward to the kingdom of God fully manifested here on earth. We're getting ready to enjoy the banquet of the Son of Man, when saints from every tribe and nation will gather around Christ's table. No disease, no disasters, no shortages, no death, no sorrow. Together and celebrating in Christ's presence. It's not the same as going for ice cream, but I'm looking forward to celebrating the supper of the Lamb, the banquet of the Son of Man, with all of you and with a bunch of people I haven't met yet. And we enjoy that hope this morning.